The podcast you're about to hear is made possible thanks to the generous supporters of patreon.com/Ian Bolesworth and patreon.com/burials and beyond. If you enjoy this podcast and you'd like to contribute and you'd like to get involved, there's tons of other content on both patrons as well, then please consider coming joining and helping the project along. Thank you. And welcome to Loopholes. It's episode 10 of your weekly esoterotic discussion podcast. I am regular member of the public, Ian Bolesworth.
And I am Dr. Kate Cheryl. Hello.
Arrogant. Arrogant, yep. Full of herself. Very cocky this week because she has been elevated to fame and fortune. She's in a television programme that landed this week on Discovery Plus. I don't think I get that one. And
make an effort.
And in that, she's swanning about the place with Sharon Osbourne. Making each other jump and stuff. How's the responsibility of your television programme? What's it called again, please?
It's called Jack Osbourne's Haunted Homecoming. The other one.
Yeah, the other one. The other one. Yeah, he is the other one out of the Osbournes, isn't he? There's Sharon Osbourne and, of course, there's Jack Osbourne.
That's your lot.
He's the other one.
The response has been lovely.
Good.
Yeah, I think I always sort of catastrophise things before they've happened.
Yeah.
But it's just been wonderful. So many lovely comments. Lots of people watching kind of their first ghost shows.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
My hands are tied, really. I'm sort of gagged about it, aren't I?
Yes.
In many ways.
Yeah.
Because I can't rip the arguments to shreds when it's your programme.
No, because I will cry.
Well, no, you won't, because you know exactly the sort of things that would
say. Yeah, no, I do.
But in terms of the actual construct of the programme, I can comment on that, and it's surprisingly good.
Thanks.
No, I mean that. No. Yeah. In terms of something that's on a channel like Discovery or whatever, or really I think it's going to be on, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in terms of those shows where they churn out quite a lot of paranormal shows, the quality of it's really high. And I had a odd thing with it where I had to keep checking myself to see whether I was just being a bit biased towards you. And I'm sure there was a little element of that to it. But I also felt, detaching as much as I could detach, it's that thing again, I didn't feel like it insulted my intelligence.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the goal. I know I've said before, I sound like a broken record when I say, you know, we're not trying to make this jumpy, exploitative paranormal show. It's like, these are our authentic experiences as we saw them. You know, there's history there. There's loads of research.
More of an American kind of teen comedy that you're making. With a bit of blue language in it.
Yeah, my mum's not happy about
that
at all.
Quite a shock that was when you
you
launched into a great big effing and jeffing tirade.
It was not. I'm a delightful, classy woman and I reject such accusations.
But it was quite surprising because you don't swear on here.
No, no.
You don't swear very much in real life, particularly. Nope. And also, within that show, I mean, obviously, it's television, isn't it? So they just portray you as an expert. You know, they sort of like... You've got to remember this, listener. With television and stuff, they'll often wheel someone out and go, doctor, what it very rarely is.
Don't you dare.
I'm thinking of that woman off You Are Everything You Eat, or whatever it's called. But it was quite a surprise because the role that you fill within that show, you wouldn't normally see that person turning the air blue.
Yeah.
So it gave it an authenticity, that's what I felt.
Yeah.
So I'd say you've done very, very well in it.
Thank you. I'm really proud of it, actually, of what we created.
Yeah, and I don't think it seems like there is a chasm of difference between you and Jack.
Yeah.
And I think he's excellent, by the way.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think I learned so much
from
him. He can switch it on. He can switch on his, like, telly self, but it's still him. He's not portraying a role. He just knows how to kind of collate his thoughts far better than I do.
I don't like that, because I want to not like him. In terms of, I want to go, why is he a ghost hunter now? Why is he in those sorts of programmes now? I want to think of him as, like, privileged, and I can't, because the evidence in front of me says he's completely great at what he's doing.
He is.
That's really annoying, though.
I know, and I think a lot of people go into his shows with that attitude.
Yeah.
I know his name already, so he can't have multiple skill sets.
Yeah, I definitely wanted that.
But he's really good.
Yeah.
And he really knows his stuff.
Yeah.
He's not daft. He's not going on shrieking and saying everything's a banshee.
Yeah.
is a sensible, clever bloke who really knows his stuff.
Annoyed me, really. Annoyed me. Because the other part of it as well is, I am clever, intelligent bloke who really knows his stuff.
You are.
And we're meant to be doing loopholes.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, in sweeps Sharon Osbourne. Whisked you away, but I'm very pleased for you.
Thank you.
I mean, I knew this day was coming.
Yeah. You wait. We'll get
out. I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm quite happy for me to just do this sort of thing. Gone are my days of being in front of the camera. They're long gone.
But thank you very much. That does mean a lot that you like it, because I know ghost shows can be very divisive.
Oh, I still think it's all absolute nonsense.
Oh, I know, you
don't
told
get me wrong.
Yeah. Dear listener, please don't think that he suddenly said afterwards, oh, Kate, you were amazing, I'm a convert. No. I've also been called every name under the sun again.
I called you a liar to your face.
You did.
With very little humour. Yeah. But you're sticking to your guns.
I am.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want my glittering, spooky legacy to be marred with deception.
I'm still holding on to hope that you die at the end of it.
Oh, God! Oh!
If you die at the end of it, I'll be like, whoa, this is the best show I've ever seen in my life. The expert just dies? I want you to get pushed down the stairs.
What have I ever done to you?
No, it's not. You're taking this far too personally.
Oh, God, I'm such a woman, eh? God, always making such a big deal about being lobbed down the stairs.
There was a bit where you had a balcony thing in front of you, a banister thing in front of you, and looking in a mirror and stuff, and I just thought, this would be better if an unseen shadow just came in now and just upended her over it, like the mum in The Omen.
Oh, God. Well, cheers, Damien. Now,
if anything, I wanted it to be more harrowing.
Oh, God.
So, full disclosure then, I would say that there are moments in that show, for me,
mm-hmm.
where I thought, now, let's get this very, very clear.
Okay.
I didn't think, ooh, something in this. However, there were moments where I was swept up in the narrative of it.
Yeah.
Where I felt like, ooh, that's good. Ooh, that's spooky. That's actually quite a spooky idea. And you know, I thought that with it. Which is why I was trying to so diligently just rip you apart when we talked about it. To go, well, you told to say that. Who said that? You said, again, sticking to your guns, aren't you?
Yeah.
So I guess that's my compliment to it. Because I don't scare easy me. And I wouldn't say I was scared.
Mm.
But it was, I could see the feeling of it. And I thought, they're either really cracking actors or this is exactly as it shows.
Yeah. Well, I'll take that as a compliment. Threats aside.
But I do hope that in the last episode,
I get chucked down the stairs and I die.
Or chucked through a window. Something like that. I don't need to get hurt.
Thanks.
Welcome to Loopholes episode 10.
Yeah, here we go.
So, in this episode, we have a situation to rectify.
Mm.
Last week, we had to bump Celebrity Sounds Corner again.
Yes.
Because you were banging on too much about something else.
Oh.
So, this week, I'm going to insist on Celebrity Sounds Corner, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say. And also, there were a lot of comments last week. The kit thing clearly did something to people, same as it does to me. Clearly sparked something.
Yes, it certainly did.
All the more exciting now. You've been on telly using kit.
I have.
I saw you doing it.
Yeah.
And I know you said that this is meant to be this, or this can, some people say this. And I know you've got your little alibi in there. I'm aware of that. But yeah, it sparked people up properly.
Yeah.
So what I propose we do this week is we do Celebrity Sounds Corner first, because it's not even Celebrity Sounds Corner, because it's actually about Billy Chutney, the famous psychic medium who I know nothing about, but feel like there is a story there.
Yes.
And also, I'd like to afford the comments the attention that they deserve. So, with it being episode 10, which it would traditionally be the end of a series for me, that would be the culmination of a series. So episode 10 still has a feel of special about it for me.
Yes.
Of like, oh, do things a little bit different. So we can do that for this episode. I'm happy to do that. And also, I have a very special guest here. He's been waiting very patiently to finally introduce Celebrity Sounds Corner. So would you please welcome the King?
Thank you very much. Thank you. Get it up from Mr. Ian Bolesworth. Get it up. Ian Bolesworth. Simply, shine the torch properly on me.
I'm trying, I can't. My arm's aching.
Simply, you have one job. Just shine the torch on me when I'm on the stage. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Ah, not right in my eye. Simply, please, you're sabotaging things. Thank you very much. My name is Oz Brosley, and I'm here today to introduce a very special section. This is a biography of Bill Chutney in this week's Drum roll, simply.
I haven't brought my drum.
Do it with your mouth. Simply, have you ever made anything of yourself? It's time for... Thank you, Brush.
What a treat. You would think impersonating him would be easier, wouldn't you? Like, I might be the only person in the world who can't actually do an impression of Elvis.
Oh, is that who you were doing?
Exactly. Yet even with that inability, I have decided to make him a regular character. And there's like, it's not that he's got bad diction now. It's that there aren't even words.
There's no diction.
There's just sounds.
Yeah.
So I think what he was trying to say was, it's a kind of a biography of Billy Chutney that we're doing for Celebrity Sounds Corner.
Yes.
Take it away, Kate.
And this week on Celebrity Sounds Corner.
Tell you what, some confidence. That's the arrogance of your TV show has done that. Has made you think you can go on after Elvis.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You're just jealous that he's not a fan of your work. That's what it boils down to. Well, clearly, he's a big fan of Celebrity Sounds Corner.
I think it's because he was a focal point of it. I think that's what it is.
So?
I think his ego's flying around all over the place here.
which makes a change, doesn't it?
It comes to something when the person with the least ego in a room is Mick Hucknall. But he was concentrating on holding a torch.
He really was.
Okay.
Oh, he's a tired little lad, isn't he?
So, Billy Chutney.
Or Leslie Flint.
Leslie Flint, that's it.
We touched on Leslie Flint a few weeks ago
for
the Oscar Wilde seance.
That's right. Well, that was where I felt like there was a story to Leslie Flint.
Yes.
But I don't think I've even asked you in real life if there is or not. Like, is this going to fall really flat now?
Well, he was a very busy man. Okay. He had a lot of friends popping in. You think you're right with Simply and the King just popping in.
Yeah.
There were, like, buses with Billy Chutney, Leslie Flint.
The people that he contacted.
Countless.
Right.
Okay. Revolving door policy on the great and good.
Okay.
He could be the mascot of Celebrity Seance Corner.
You did tell me the other day about somebody, I forget who you said it was, some celebrity that he contacted, who was telling him about disabled people in the afterlife.
Yeah, because we cannot discuss that on this podcast. You really can't. Yeah.
And that was really quite outrageous, wasn't it?
It was, and considering that was coming from a long-dead female aviator.
Yeah. I don't think it was meant to be as horrible as it came across.
No, it was...
I think it was of its time, really.
Very much of its time. It was meant to be, like, encouraging and like, hey, everything's so much better.
Yeah.
You know, in the many spectral spheres.
Yeah, that's true. But the gist of it was really that people who were disabled in real life were able-bodied in the afterlife.
Yes.
Except...
There were some very clear exceptions. Should we leave it at that?
Yeah, we'll come away from it. Yeah, I agree. If people want to find out, they can go and...
They can.
Yeah, find
they can.
Out.
There are... Well, as we said before, with Leslie Flint, I need to keep using his real name, not Billy Chutney, because that is not his name.
I can still hear where Billy Chutney is in Leslie Flint. I can hear what I heard.
Well, I'm glad one of us
can. Just can't explain it.
The joy, shall we say, of Flint's legacy is that throughout like the latter decades of his career, he was joined by people with a tape deck. So a lot of his seances were recorded, preserved, and have since been uploaded to the Leslie Flint Trust online.
Now, how well known was he in his lifetime?
He wasn't a megastar, but he was well known enough.
He wasn't like Doris Stokes or anything like that, though.
I wouldn't say so. Okay. But his career started, well, he was born in 1911.
Right.
And his career really spanned, like, it was about 40 years, 42 years-ish.
Yeah.
Pre-war to about the 70s.
Okay.
And then he hung up his ghost hat.
Yeah, so just, after that. So his boozing years.
So, Leslie Flint was a medium, but he was a direct-to-voice medium.
Yeah.
Direct voice means that voices don't come through the medium, like he doesn't channel them.
You just hear them in the room.
Yeah, they just sort of use him as like a focal point.
Yeah.
He said that...
So it's always got to be dark in the room, always.
Always.
Every time a direct voice medium plies their trade, it's got to be dark in the room.
Because the ghosts like it. Well, you know, it doesn't have to be.
It's obvious why it has to be dark in the room.
Doesn't have to be in the dark, does he? Because sometimes it was in a cupboard. So, the voices of the dead spoke to the friends, the relatives, the gathered people.
Yeah.
And he himself said that these voices, they were located in a space a little above my head and slightly to one side of me.
Yeah.
And people could have a chat. Leslie himself didn't really interact with a lot of these seances.
No.
It was kind of his pals.
Well, I mean, I rumbled this the other week. It's his mate, boozing mates. They all go out, they get a few down them and start cracking on that they're someone else and exploit people's naive beliefs.
Right. Well, Flint himself marketed himself as the most tested medium ever.
Yeah, but was he breathalyzer tested?
And even today,
yeah.
That tagline is on most stuff related to it.
What does that even mean? So what does that mean?
So it means that he mainly did direct voice. He also did ectoplasm, yeah. Because of course you do if you got the chance. And so a lot of the debunkers and ghost hunters of the day, if Leslie Flint was doing a seance,
yeah.
And people were thinking, where does that voice come from?
Yeah.
Of course they're going to think it might be one of Leslie's boozed up mates, or yeah. It might be Leslie himself.
Yeah.
So one of the tests was to make him hold water in his mouth, and they'd put tape on his mouth. And not right. Just that, they'd mark where the tape was. So if he'd taken it off to have a chat
during
the seance, they'd know because it was really precisely marked.
Right.
So they did that.
Yeah. Did he pass all these tests with flying colours, by the way? Because I've noticed that thus far,
yes.
All that's been said is he was the most tested medium.
Yeah.
Small print. Fair every time.
Yeah. Well, he was gagged.
I mean, I could be argued to be the most tested GCSE maths person. But it took me a few cracks at it.
Did you get it in the end?
I did get it in the end,
and that's yeah. What matters. Congratulations.
But how successful was he when he was tested?
Well, a lot of these tests are reported as being successful, but they yeah. Couldn't prove that he was making the noises himself.
Yeah.
They even had little machines taped up to his neck to check for vibrations,
okay.
To see if it was his own voice. But also, he failed a lot. So he was the most tested medium.
Yeah. And also, the authenticity of the test has not been established either.
Exactly.
So, as a sociologist, of course, you need to think about these things.
Of course.
That it's all well and good saying, well, he's been tested, yeah, but by who?
Yeah.
And what are their credentials? How trustworthy are they?
Yeah. The tests...
Was he tested by the Queen at any point? I don't think so.
The tests were pretty rudimentary.
Was he tested by the Prime Minister? I don't think so.
But one thing I find interesting yeah. With his seances is that while he's tied up
yeah.
In darkness, he's got a group of sitters
yeah, of course.
In the seance as well.
And his mates as well, though.
They weren't tied up.
Yeah, or tested.
Yeah.
I'm not saying for one second that his direct voice stuff is actually being done by him.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, ever. It's either on a tape or it's one of his mates. It's somebody else doing it.
Yeah.
Or he's a ventriloquist. So all the tape over your mouth does is rules out ventriloquist, does it?
Yeah, well, with that tape marking incident in particular,
yeah.
Afterwards, he still had the water, apparently.
Yeah.
But there were clear marks where the tape had come off
oh, really?
And been
okay.
Shoved back on.
Well, there we go, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So was he notorious in his lifetime?
I'd say he was more beloved than notorious.
Right.
Because of how prolific he was.
Yeah.
Pre-mediums on TV who has so much of his legacy preserved. So with a lot of Victorian mediums, things like that, we have their lectures written up, but we don't have actual audio recordings.
Right, okay.
And I think that's what's so interesting about Leslie Flint.
Right.
With his seances, when you're told he had a chat with a celebrity, you don't just have to read it, you can hear it.
Okay. So was it always celebrities? Was that his stock in trade?
Not always. It was a weird cross-section of society.
Okay.
So there's celebrities and characters.
Okay.
So there was no one mundane who'd just pop in and go, I died 2 weeks ago.
Right.
It would still be, you know, I'm an old flower seller from old London town.
Got
we have
okay.
Seeds in the afterlife. But his spirit guide was a kind of Artful Dodger type child.
Right.
Very Beano-esque.
Right.
And his familiar was called Mickey.
What's familiar? What does that mean?
His familiar is like his spirit guide.
Okay.
He called it his familiar, but normally we hear that word with witches.
Right.
Like witches' familiars when they've got cats and things.
I see.
So he called it his
Who they
familiar.
Hang about with.
Who they hang about with.
Yeah, their accessory.
Yeah, so that's kind of his... He plugs into young Mickey and away they go.
Does he?
And he was a child who died...
You do know that I can now no longer take any part in this conversation, don't you?
Look, you I'm trying know. To give you the background.
All I'm doing now is biting my lip really hard. I think you did that on purpose. I think you talked about him plugging into his familiar, knowing full well it would render me incapacitated for this entire conversation.
Well, look, Mickey was a young child who died around 1910 in a street accident.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a proper little cockney. And so in most...
You're doing
in
this
most,
on purpose.
Most safe
there is no way in the world you're not doing this on purpose.
It's real.
I don't accept this for a second.
He is. So with most seances, you know, whoever it is, you'll get yeah. The introduction of, I'm Mickey. And I know I'm not brilliant at voices, but this is pretty damn accurate.
Right, okay.
Welcome to the Assembled Sitters. Oh, it's you again. Where are you going on holiday this year? Right. Going anywhere nice?
So maybe he wanted to be a hairdresser in this life. But he is in
Why
most...
Why didn't you do this on your telly programme? I would have loved that.
I know.
If you'd have suddenly started speaking like that when you were looking in that big mirror. Rather than doing Effin and Jeffin, do a little character for the ladies and gentlemen.
Look, I'll know for next time.
They do the bit of cutaway to Jack Osborne, just staring into the camera going, oh, Christ. We knew we shouldn't have used someone new.
But I think Mickey really does, he sets the scene
yeah.
of many of these seances. They're not okay. very solemn affairs.
Yeah.
It's like celebs just pop in and have a chat.
Right.
But also, it's the nature of a lot of these celebs that puts Leslie Flint's ability into question. So when he starts channeling other people from maybe different countries, different continents, they sort of don't sound anything like they did in life.
Right.
He would channel Queen Victoria.
Yeah.
Who sounded like a, well, like a Les Dawson sketch.
Okay.
Like Sissy and Ada, yeah. except with a crown on.
Right, okay.
So Victoria turned up with her royal gilly, John Brown, who was a Scottish gentleman.
Billy Connolly.
Makes Billy Connolly sound English. Virtually unintelligible.
Well, that might be how he spoke, though. Let's give Billy Connolly the benefit of the doubt here.
Okay.
Because Billy Connolly isn't the real one. The real one might have spoke like that. Maybe Billy Connolly's voice was toned down compared to what the real one was like.
Okay. Really don't think it is. This is like me doing a really bad Scottish accent.
Okay, right, okay. I mean, that is an issue, isn't it? And we talked about that a little bit, about when Derek Acuro was doing Michael Jackson, doing a Michael Jackson.
Yes.
A sort of a Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And we spoke about it with Leslie Flint as well when we talked about him channeling Oscar Wilde. It takes some confidence to do that. So even a Cora in the Michael Jackson sales takes some confidence to actually go, I'm going to have a crack at this.
Exactly.
I sort of begrudgingly admire it as a confidence thing.
Yes.
And I'd admire it more if they could do it.
Yeah, and I think that kind of encompasses a lot of Flint's career, is that he would channel amazing people. Chopin, the composer, Rudolf Valentino, the actor, Lucius Lucillus, who was just off of probably ancient Greece.
Right, okay.
And so he's setting himself up constantly for really complicated conversations.
But I guess, we can, because he's direct voice medium, so he's not doing the voices of these people. So maybe this is all part of the drunken party that they were doing. Maybe he was saying, right, I'm speaking to Rudolf Valentino. And then his mate's like, oh my God, why are you doing that to me? And then Leslie Benz, right, put the sellotape over my mouth, it'll prove it's not me. Just giggling to himself.
Yeah.
Because he knows his mate's got to now do his best Valentino. Yeah. So it could be, eh?
It could
be,
yeah. And I think there were several seances where he was trying to channel a sort of ancient Chinese philosopher.
Right.
Like Confucius.
Yeah.
So if you're going to channel Confucius, you need really insightful, you need snappy. Whereas he offered things like, when he was posed the question, please may I ask you something? What, my child? Can you describe your particular sphere to us? Like where he's inhabiting?
Yeah. And Confucius said, nope.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
He just said, nope. That's tricky enough to kind of get your head around. But, you know, he also, he had quite a few infamous sittings with Gandhi.
Right.
Who, by the way, in the afterlife, is French. But also...
And kicks off a lot.
Also, Gandhi was a Hindu.
Yeah.
Hindus believe in reincarnation.
Yeah.
That means you can't come back to chat with Leslie Flint in a London underground bunker.
Well, maybe that's why Gandhi was a bit arsey.
Yeah.
You know, there's loads of loopholes here in terms of how he could argue it. Like Leslie Flint stroke Billy Chutney, how he approaches it, or any medium, how they approach it. I've had this where I've spoke to mediums, where I've spoke to clairvoyants, whatever they're deciding to call themselves on that day, where they'll say things like, hey, I just give what I'm told.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with me. This,
yeah.
It's got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what I can hear. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's a complete loophole. It's a complete get-out clause, isn't it? So if Leslie Flint is having Gandhi with a French accent, he can go, that's just what it says it's Gandhi. I don't, it's not me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing the accent wrong.
Could be Louis XIV pretending to be Gandhi.
A trickster in the afterlife or, you know, wherever they live now. So it's riddled with loopholes that serve the protagonist.
Yeah.
The person who's committing the deception, the person who's executing the fraud.
Mm.
The loopholes serve them.
Yes.
Because they can say things like, I'm not in charge of these words.
Yeah.
So if they don't make sense to you, if these don't apply to your family or your loved one that's dead, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just telling you what I'm being told by these ghosts.
And to explain away a lot of the strange voices, you know, Leslie would say that ectoplasm formed a kind of spirit voice box next to him. So there would be differences because they're not there. It's this kind of cheesecloth-y voice box, so things will sound different.
And could people see that? What was that? Was that it something was he made at home in his
workshop? Yeah.
Yeah. What other things do they have, these? Because this is a bit of a specialist area for you.
Yes.
So what other things do they have? I've seen you recreate things on your Patreon.
Yeah.
I remember a marigold on a stick.
Yes. Yeah, like...
What was that?
That was spirit hands.
Okay.
And things like that. So when mediums would say that they could manifest parts of ghosts.
Yeah.
So hands were particularly popular.
Yeah.
For decades and decades. So much so that you could even buy your own spirit wrapping hand as like a
parlor trick. So they just have prop hands with them.
Yeah, and they could be like a marigold on a stick.
Yeah.
Like a bit of carved animal liver.
Yeah.
Wax hands.
Yeah.
Things like that, or just someone else's hand. But Leslie Flint himself kind of prided himself in not using any equipment. He was very proud in saying, not a trumpet medium, I don't need any props.
What's a trumpet medium?
Trumpet mediumship. We should definitely get into when we've got a bit more time.
Okay.
But trumpets, you'd get a spirit trumpet.
Yeah.
You'd ask the spirits to communicate verbally.
Right.
And spirit voices would emerge from the end of this trumpet.
Right.
So at no point does anyone speak into it.
So it's a loud hailer for the medium.
It's a loud hailer for the spirit world.
Well, who's speaking through it? In real life. Who is it?
I don't know. It could be the medium.
Yeah, okay.
Or it could just be voices from elsewhere in the room.
It's basically to make the medium's voice a bit more echoey and spooky, isn't it? That's what it is.
Maybe.
But that is what it is,
isn't
it?
Also, there's a big tradition
in
spiritualist seances of using rudimentary instruments like tambourines, like actual trumpets, as kind of toys that spirits can come and play with.
Yeah, yeah. So Leslie Flint's didn't use any of this.
Didn't use any props.
Yeah.
Very proud about not using any props.
Yeah.
Although I think ectoplasm, we can put in a hefty grey area around him.
Yeah.
And he never charged for his seances.
Okay. I mean, this isn't even what I wanted to know. I wanted to know about his life. I wanted to know about who he was. Because I do suspect this was all just a massive laugh. I do think this is a gang of mates having the time of their lives.
Yeah. For someone who was so famous for so long and so renowned, not that much is known about him, even a lot.
Why didn't you just say that at the beginning?
Because I'm saving the heartwarming things.
Why didn't you say it 2 weeks ago when I was saying, tell me about Billy Chutney? Don't even make chutney. Like, tell me about him. Why didn't you say then? Because there's nothing to tell.
Because there is no one out there like Leslie Flint today.
I'm sure there's loads of dull people out there.
He's not dull. Look, I think he's a really interesting figure.
I asked you, was there an interesting story about Billy Chutney, Leslie Flint? You said yes. Turns out there wasn't. Look, and what you've done is you have tried to fool us all by employing the same tactics that your heroes do. Shock and awe, confusion, throw people off the scent, start talking about a trumpet. All of this.
Look.
Diversionary, you're as bad as they are.
He is the pinnacle of Celebrity Seance Corner. People just channeled one. He channeled all of them.
And that tells you all you need to know about Celebrity Seance Corner.
No.
If he is the patron saint of Celebrity Seance Corner, and I know somebody who'll be very angry about this, somebody who does have a bit of a personality to him.
I will endear you to him. I will do. Look, Leslie Flint, little bit about his early life.
Right.
He was born in extreme poverty in a Salvation Army home in Hackney.
Yeah.
And then he met both his parents afterwards, was legitimised.
Yeah.
And then he was only a little lad when his mother went for the bright lights of the West End to make her name as a star.
Yeah.
His dad went to the Western Front and he never saw either of them again.
Right.
and then he was given to his grandmother, who raised him on broken biscuits and a tuppence worth of jam and just shoved him in the cinema every day because she couldn't look after him. He, when he was sat in the cinema, would start hearing whispering voices, thinking it was people talking the film.
Nah.
It's not, it's ghosts.
Nah.
Spiritualist circle, he finally found a family and a group of people who he could bring around himself for the rest of his life through spiritualism and through celebrity seances.
Okay, so it's a fat bullied kid telling jokes to the bullies, isn't it? Oh, that was a bit close to home.
But I do think that Leslie Flynn is the greatest direct voice medium the world will ever see, for good or bad reasons. And I think he should be celebrated that he came from poverty, made himself a real name, a real superstar, got a book deal, had a lot of biscuits along the way,
yeah,
and died very happy.
All right, well, if that's your opinion, you're entitled to it.
Thank you.
It's wrong, though. And to round us off, we're going to go through the comments
mm-hmm.
from last week. Now, I think an interesting thing happened last week. I think ghost hunting equipment is something that really triggers people.
Yes, yeah, a lot of strong views coming out
yeah,
on this one.
And the other interesting thing about this is, mm-hmm. I've got a ton of comments here.
Yeah.
And I believe you've only got like a couple. A
handful, yeah.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that and thinking that, loosely speaking, not exclusively, but loosely speaking, on our respective Patreon accounts, mm-hmm. we both operate within a sort of echo chamber, really. So I would say that mine will be weighted
mm-hmm.
with people that are quite sceptical and dismissive
yes.
of huge claims. And yours would be a little more generous on the side of...
Maybe. Certainly, historically speaking, there's a lot of people who like deathly stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if they don't believe in it, there's definitely that sort of vibe.
Well, okay, so it has a kind of a permeated, esoterotic vibe.
Yes,
to your stuff.
So. Yeah.
Whereas mine doesn't have... That's an aspect of some projects that I've done.
Yeah.
But they tend to take a similar stance to what I would take.
Mm-hmm.
So one way of looking at it would be that the people who are more into all that sort of stuff,
mm-hmm.
they just shut up when Kit's questioned. Because they're like, don't.
Yeah.
Let it blow over, just let it yeah. blow over. Whereas the other side mm. are more like, let's have these. So there's a confrontation. We've inadvertently sparked a confrontation as well, I think.
Yeah.
I wondered whether that was something
mm-hmm.
to pinpoint, to go, oh, that's interesting. Look at Ian's Patreon, look at Kate's Patreon, look at the differing
yeah.
responses to certain things.
Yeah.
And it happened quite quick this week as well on my Patreon,
mm-hmm.
when the episode dropped. The comments started coming in quite fast.
Yeah.
People, they feel strongly about it, about Kit.
They really do.
Yeah, yeah. What have yours said?
A lot of Kit-related things and... kindness towards dinner lady experiences.
Right.
So lovely comments from lots of people. But Lewis Walker said, it does make you wonder how certain ghost kits are described to not fall into sales of goods acts.
Yeah.
With apps, I think they should have to declare for entertainment purposes and are usually full of adverts, which is a good point.
Yeah.
Yet I've still seen people have induced panic attacks from their readings.
Right.
So again, it's the case of whether or not things are real is immaterial. If the reactions themselves and the impact
yeah.
that these things have is real.
Yeah, I mean, there are rules for saying entertainment purposes.
Yes.
In fact, your program has it on,
yeah.
on
yeah.
the front
I think
of yours,
legally, legally, anything that deals with matters of belief and certainly of using kits saying, you know, this is what we're trying to do, I think it's just to cover
yeah.
backs, especially in, I think, especially for American audiences.
Right, okay.
It's
okay.
a necessity. But also, Nigel Higgins, who is a confirmed ghost botherer,
yeah.
wrote an essay in the hopes that I wouldn't be dedicated enough to read through it.
Right, okay.
So,
I had quite a few essays on mine
Nigel,
this week.
Nigel, you fool. Yeah. I read it all. And Nigel commented, not just on Kit,
yeah.
but he picked up on the comments we made about dress. And how certain male investigators are dressing like security guards with these
oh, yes, yeah,
multi-pocketed
yeah.
vests.
Yeah.
And he said that unfortunately he may fall into my combat attire wearing group
yeah.
as I use an Alice rig, which is a vest with pouches, to carry bits of kit, cameras, etc.
Yeah.
Especially if a location involves a bit of a walk away from our vehicle As a two-person team, we don't have the luxury of a crew to carry our flight cases full of gear.
Yeah.
I see your point, Nigel. Let me introduce you to the world of bags.
Oh, my goodness. Right. I had a thought then when you were saying what Nigel said then.
Yeah.
People can do what they want, by the
they
way.
They absolutely can. Absolutely fine. It's not just a thing that I saw and thought was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to strap a REM pod to your head,
I'm
going to
speak directly to Nigel, and okay. I'm not making fun of Nigel at all.
Yeah, we like
Nigel.
Nigel,
listen to me, just me and you now. Listen to me. Be truthful with yourself, and you don't even have to reply to this in the comments or anything like that. Be truthful with yourself. Think back where the attraction to that idea comes from. Think to where you feel that that as an image gives off, and I am confident, if you are truly honest with yourself, you will trace it back to Ghostbusters. I'm confident of it. And I don't say that, by the way, in a dismissive way at all. Looks cool as anything, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I get that completely. Yeah, yeah. And if you follow that through as a hobby or even a lifestyle, I guess, you know, throughout your adult life, mm-hmm. I absolutely understand it. Where you'd want to wear the jumpsuit or, you know, the whole thing of lots of pockets, lots of, you know, that kind of get-up. But I'm pretty sure that originated with Ghostbusters, and the idea of a ghost hunter looking mm-hmm. like that,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure originated with Ghostbusters. I may be wrong, but I'm thinking to things that Ghostbusters was influenced by, like things like Lonesome Ghost, the old Disney cartoon, and things like that.
Yeah,
I don't recall it being the same sort of, like, it was Mickey, Goofy, and Donald,
yeah,
and they had like axes and stuff. You know, the other...
I don't think we're that far away from axes making a comeback. If we're getting handcuffs, we're getting axes.
Right. But it wasn't combat gear.
No, it wasn't Rambo.
Yeah, so I think that Ghostbusters, and again, I reserve the right to say I might be wrong, but I feel like Ghostbusters was the first step in the evolution of kind of a combat ghost
hunter.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm relatively confident the whole machismo, I don't level that at Nigel, by the way, I mean the people we spoke about in YouTube mm-hmm. things and all that.
Yeah.
The machismo aspect, I truly believe, is probably traced back to Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. I think that's a good call.
The idea of it being a fight.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not going discovering things, it's a fight.
Yeah, so you will need immediate access
You're
to
going in
things.
There to conquer.
Yeah.
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 You don't look the same with a sensible rucksack. That'll probably help you back in the long run, Nigel.
Hey,
I'm
Nigel,
just thinking about you.
You wear what you want, Nigel. It's your hobby. You wear what you want.
Think about your back, Nigel. Come on. And a really lovely comment from Jacqueline Davis, who said that it was another great episode. And she said that she would give it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
But there was no singing.
Right.
So it was a 9.
Okay.
And she said, please don't read this out unless you want to acknowledge how brilliant you both are.
Okay.
So to buff our egos,
You've chosen the wrong week. Jacqueline, for Kate to not blow smoke up her own arse.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Okay, we'll go through mine. Again, lovely peppered comments, Draken64, and of course, Craig Harrison, of mm-hmm. course, who says he realises he might sound like a broken record, but this podcast is absolutely first rate, another cracker of an episode.
Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, Craig, mate. But I'd quite like to go through these. So Jonathan Caton said, I live for the Wednesday Loopholes notification now. It's fast become my favourite podcast. Thank you, Jonathan. Bit late, but in answer to the would you use a Ouija board, have the crying boy in your house,
mm-hmm.
the logical bit of my brain is 100% sure there is nothing paranormal hiding in either of these items,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't have either in my house because I don't have that good of a control of my subconscious thoughts, and I would definitely torment myself with thoughts of burning houses and chairs flying around the place. So I completely understand that.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And that's where I think I get borderline angry with this sort of stuff.
Okay.
Is I think a lot of the narratives within the esoteric world depend on how robust you are. So it could be you either believe it and you go wide-eyed, fancifully into the light and go, I believe all this and I'm investigating, I'm doing this, that and the other. And it's not something that actually emotionally affects you in anything other than excitement.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a logical response to it in terms of you could be the sort of person that I think I mostly am, which is of just being quite cold and pragmatic about it mm-hmm. and picking it apart quite easily.
Yeah.
And then you have another area of people who, whilst they don't particularly subscribe to it, it will eat away at them. Like, it will sort of... Yeah. It, like, it's the idea of a curse, isn't it? So a curse, in its most cynical form, is an idea you place in someone's head. So an example of this would be a fictional scenario. Two people in a car crash. They get out of their cars. They disagree completely in whose fault it was. And then one of the people says, right, well, I've actually got second sight. I'm in touch with spirits and stuff. I'm putting a curse on you. Now, if you have a certain way of thinking about things, if you then go home and your microwave doesn't work,
it'll still be playing in your mind. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so that's why I think there's an insidious aspect to some of these ideas. But I also think that you could level the same accusation at any horror film, that it can get under your skin and that it can make you feel horrible or have trouble sleeping and all that. So it's not something you go, it shouldn't be allowed. It's just, I think those things sometimes don't get thought about quite so much, of how mentally damaging some of this stuff can be for you.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jonathan doesn't need to have the crying boy in his house or a Ouija board.
No.
And it's not like everyone's got one. Well, I suppose it was. It wasn't it though?
Yeah.
Everyone did have it.
Yeah, they were mega popular.
And then this.
And same with Ouija boards as well. Do you think Hasbro would be selling toys that didn't sell?
And then this idea gets perpetuated. Yeah. That your house might burn down.
Yeah.
The anxiety that must have caused people.
Oh, yeah.
About that.
That's
painting.
Why I think they're quite hard to find nowadays.
Yeah.
Because people burned the unburnable picture.
Yeah. Fraser, the discussion on kits was really interesting. I've never understood why apps get any credibility with some of the paranormal community. To interact with a phone through any of its input channels, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, NFC, USB, etc., requires massive complexity. How are ghosts of people with no technical capability able to hack into Bluetooth connections, even if a ghost was a blur of EMF on the right frequency, it'll just be signal noise that the phone would reject. There was a similar comment to that also by Annette Truby, who said that she questions these devices. How do ghosts, especially those from before the Industrial Revolution, or even the technological one, know how to use these devices? I've never heard of electricity, but I know how to use this box that's scanning radio signals and pluck out words to create a message.
Again, I think we get into the two different schools of thought with how to use kit. If two people buy into... Let's just go back to REM pods. They're the ones that are like theremins.
Yeah.
So you go near them, they make a noise.
Yeah.
One team, much like the app thing, will just put it down and go, if there's anyone there, make the REM pod go off.
Yeah.
As if any random living person would know what the hell you're
so that's
on about,
nonsense.
Let alone a ghost.
Yeah.
Whereas the other school of people, like I've a friend of mine, Corinne, is brilliant at explaining this sort of thing.
Yeah.
She does a lot of ghost tours and events and things, and she explains it to spirits as, it won't harm you, this is like a candle.
Right.
You know, and it lets us know that you're there. So even if you believe that all the ghosty business is rubbish, I think that method of explaining kit to not only the living, but also the theoretical dead, that it's harmless, and then you liken it to something that's easily recognisable for everyone, like a candle, then that's an interesting way of working.
Isn't a more sensible way of explaining this? I'm not knocking Corinne. I mean, but isn't a more sensible way of explaining this to be that they're not working the equipment? So this is the quandary I had when I read those comments, where I was like, they're not working the equipment.
Mm.
The equipment is responding. They're passive.
Yes.
You know, they're not typing in passwords, or they're not... Where I would disagree with it is when people say things like, oh, it turned my telly on, or, oh, it made a light bulb go, or what have you.
Yes.
Surged a light bulb.
Yeah.
And it's not that it did it by accident. It was to warn you of something, or to tell you of something. They're the ones that I contest. They're the ones that I'm like, no. If I was making kit, I would say the ghost has got an outdo with it. This just detects the ghost.
Yeah.
When you start having word banks, when they start saying things.
Yeah, when it's not just detecting, it's active communication. Yeah,
that's when you're getting to, well, how's it doing that?
Yeah.
And the narrative from the other side must be the kit is doing it for the ghost. The ghost is not working the kit.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd have to say that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're dead in the water.
Yeah, anything that involves apps that then say they're going one step further than any word bank, and they usually call things like demonatrix or something that sounds suitably spooky like that. They're the ones that, in their word banks, will only have things like hell, fire, beneath.
Yeah, if something is speaking through an electronic device, that electronic device must have every possible word available on it. Must have. Not just danger.
Yeah.
Uncertain. Death.
Yeah.
Skellington. Lewis Crawford Wilson, I've always said that there are two main types of believers, ones who spend and ones who profit. The producers of the kit make millions by not even repurposing equipment. They just stick a sticker on something that already exists, and now it can actually tell you if something supernatural is in the room. It's both a depressing and genius business. Great show. Honestly, love this so much. Thanks, Lewis. Same answer,
yeah.
I think, which is...
How dare you dismiss my £400 teddy bear?
There's an argument that these people could use, and I don't know if they do, is just to go, yes, it is the same kit that does that. It is exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But it does detect ghosts because they give off the same thing
yeah.
as the wires in your wall give off, etc., etc., etc. Now, the argument is, always has been, and always will be, based on what?
Mm-hmm.
Give me the science
yeah.
based on what? And nobody, and I mean that, mm-hmm. nobody has ever given me the science.
Yeah. As in, you can't quantify what a ghost is.
Yeah.
So whatever you detect, you've got to decide what you're wanting to detect.
Yeah.
You've got to decide what you think a ghost is and then work backwards from that.
Yeah.
But
the science isn't sound.
Exactly. The science can't say, this is how you detect ghosts.
It's like divining rods.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if divining rods actually do divine. I don't know if they do or not.
Yeah.
I know you can control them yourself really quite easily
mm-hmm.
and accidentally as well, potentially. Yeah. But I don't know if they detect water. But if they do, then all you got to do then is go, well, ghosts, a lot of ghosts are water.
Yeah.
And it appears that's yeah. what's happened.
Yeah.
People have gone, well, ghosts are electricity a lot.
Yeah.
So this thing that detects electricity, that's yeah. what...
I think that's, again, where we get into you've got to be careful how you market things. Because
right.
a lot of, like, the higher-end ghost equipment will say it detects vibration, EMF, you know, however many things, temperature,
yeah.
and it will record things. And all those functions will be legitimate.
Yeah.
They'll be able to work. But they will never say this will help you detect ghosts. Because no one can say what a ghost is.
Okay. Johnny, I'm probably going to be kicking off. Really funny episode. Appreciate the consideration with which you both tackle these discussions. Do these people claim they have a ghost helping them at Spooky Device Limited headquarters with the calibration of their devices? Call me esoterata cynical, but I doubt they even considered this. I totally appreciate your position of let people have their fun. Kay, I wonder how we could protect the more vulnerable people from going down the rabbit hole, though. Oh, now that's sort of what I was saying.
Yes, yeah.
That's kind of what I was saying
yeah.
before.
Yeah, ethics and safeguarding in the paranormal are massive, massive issues.
Yeah.
I feel. And thankfully, there are a few bodies that are kind of in the midst of launching at the minute that are
right,
kind
okay.
of a bit more like Corgi registered
right.
ethical paranormal means.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, it's an excellent point that there's a huge issue with people getting carried away with kit and saying, I'll do a house call, I'll find these ghosts, I'll do exorcism. That was on a TV show I watched the other night. This guy saying, we've just done an investigation. Oh, it was really tiring because it had to end in an exorcism.
Right.
Which, if you just think of the emotional trauma that that would bring to the people that were assembled there, the people doing that have no safeguarding skills. They won't have any mental health training. There's so many things that we just don't think about when we get caught up in the giddy realms of esotericism.
But you also, but the other side of the coin, so if Johnny's saying, I wonder how we could protect the more vulnerable people from going down the mm-hmm. rabbit hole, it's like, well, who puts themselves in charge of that?
You exactly.
know,
you just,
how do you do yeah. that? You know, people have free will and
yeah.
people can do what they want and they can surf the internet all night.
Yeah, and ghost hunters, ghost botherers won't want to be told by someone they don't know, by the way, don't behave like this.
Yeah.
So I think it's more a case of putting the points out there and the what-ifs. Because a lot of people, they're not deliberately being dismissive to people.
Yeah, but they're making money there. People, when people are making money, they
yeah, then we do get know, into...
It all goes out the window.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Norton, the app discussion reminded me of the time a company put up an app and said it would make your phone waterproof. I assume with some heavy disclaimers. And a lot of people broke their phones. Is that true? I don't know about that. That's
I don't
hilarious.
Know.
That is hilarious. Yeah. Ben Horton, I would love to do a teardown of one of these ghost hunting devices.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one to spare, then please send it over for an electronics engineering analysis. Ben did the lights on my
I trust
droids.
Him as well.
Yeah, same.
Oh.
I mean, I don't have any kit at all. That was all pulled
yeah.
away. So, nor would I want it
yeah.
either.
Yeah, I have to think about that one.
Okay. Keep badgering, Ben, please. Jesse Miller, I'd love you to have to send stuff to him and even come
back. It's really expensive.
Absolute nonsense.
I wouldn't mind.
He won't break it. He won't break it. He'll fix it if it breaks.
Right. If I get that in writing.
No, of course he will.
I'll send him a REM pod. I'll post him a REM pod. Give us your opinion on that.
Okay. Jesse Miller, I've always struggled with a device that is meant to do X, but as a side effect, it also does ghosts. Or worse yet, if you do XYZ with the device and put it in a Faraday box, brackets cage, then it's totally legitimate not doing what it was originally intended to do. I do love this series and apologise for not being in the comments. But you are in the comments, Jesse! You are! Billy Chutney is piped up here.
Oh, hello!
It's really sad to hear that Kate's ghost-bothering spaces have also become infected with tactical dude bros, probably doing dive rolls around Ouija boards and using wrist control on a dinner lady who's coughing up too much demonic cheesecloth. I had a similar experience when I tried to get into the bushcraft scene a few years back. I went looking for a calm, outdoorsy, crafty, wild camping scene and found it to be overrun with aggro military cosplayers. Love the show. Don't let the dickheads get you both down. Billy... I mean, it's awful, this, because I think you might have been radicalised but by us. So I don't really know what to do about that. You're perfectly formed in what we need. But you sound like you've been brainwashed. Kyle Griffiths, as an electronic engineer, another one that works in the mobile phone industry, electronic ghost hunting kits and apps make my ears bleed. The only two, you could probably sue him for that.
Yeah.
The only tools I put any possible credence in are EMF meters or basic scanners that just beep based on frequency energy spikes. FM radio voices is nonsense. It's not simple and a ghost is not replicating it without a ghost radio of their own. AM is possible, in inverted commas, as it's simple, but it'd require a ghost to know how to emit a constant frequency at a rate so fast as to be incomprehensible to humans and modulate it to match their voice. If a voice comes out, a ghost didn't do it, unless you happen to be talking to Nikola Tesla's ghost, as he'd be the only one to know how to do it. Apps are equally nonsense because apps don't have unfettered access to a phone's components. Ignoring the fact that phone isn't designed to do ghost hunting, that's what we casually said last week, but I hadn't thought of that, that the app, even
wouldn't
if the phone
access,
did
yeah,
have it,
I didn't
the
think
app
that
hasn't
either.
Got access to that in the phone. All an app can do is ask the phone to do one of a limited set of things and only has direct access to the microphone, camera, acceleration, gyroscopes, or the magnetometer if it has one. The magnetometer is the only thing in that list that could be vaguely useful. If we're subscribing to ghosts being an electromagnetic phenomenon and it can do a similar job as an EMF meter, if an EMF meter isn't saying sausages from a ghost, neither is your phone. Apologies for the mini rant. Loving the podcast, although I don't comment that often. Looking forward to the next one. What you could have done, Kyle, is you could have split that comment up over 10 weeks.
I mean,
but
wow.
I wanted to read that in its
entirety.
Brilliant.
That's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that his comment on AM and FM radio hacks hasn't killed a little part of me.
Yeah.
Genuinely. I've always struggled to understand how people think that radio hacks work.
Right.
And it really needs to be explained idiot style.
Okay.
And I think that's perfectly laid out.
Yeah. I mean, I had a similar thing reading that going, I kind of pride myself on being able to break stuff down quite well, but I can't do that, what he's just
That's
done.
Brilliant, yeah. I'm going to print that out and frame it.
I can do it,
yeah.
Sort of emotionally I can do it, but that's, bang on the money there.
Yeah.
I bet Ben Orton sat there at the moment going, well, I could have said all that, and I just wanted to leave a shorter comment. I am also an electronic engineer.
He's getting a REM pod, he can't complain.
Yeah, he asked first, Kyle, in fairness. Graham Vallis, if a person's consciousness can continue to exist once the body has died, then it's possible that beings have evolved which consist of nothing but a disembodied consciousness. These native spirits would be much better adapted to unlife in the spirit realm than the recently deceased, so they wouldn't be the dominant life form and presumably stronger and more numerous. How would you know the spirit you're interacting with isn't one of these beings rather than your nan calling you from hell? Did you follow that? Because I think I might be too tired now at this point. Because I was reading that going, I was reading that in the same way that celebrities should read cameo requests.
Yeah. Yes.
Where you're looking at it and going, is this a trick?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, because I feel a little bit battle damaged today.
Yeah.
Rob Graves, but thank you for your comment, Graves. Yes. I'm being facetious. Rob Graves, all these devices are so dumb. They don't even have spinny, shiny bits. They'll never work without the spinny, shiny bits. Again, it's Ghostbusters, I'm telling you now.
Yeah.
This is all traceable back to Ghostbusters. And last one, Jacob Boyle. How long do you think it will take until we get a celebrity seance for the Queen? Or do you think she is too high status, revered, taboo for this kind of grift? I'll say straight away, nobody is too high status, revered, when these parasites are about.
And I can categorically say that within hours of her death being announced, there were live stream seances with the Queen on Facebook.
Of course there were. And did you watch any of this? Were you party to any of this? Did you see what happened?
They're on my save for later tab.
Are they? Yeah.
They are.
Why? Are you going to be meeting police later?
So that was Loopholes episode 10. Thank you very much for listening. And as ever, please do get in touch. You can leave comments on either of our Patreons, which are patreon.com/IanBoldsworth for him and patreon.com/burialsandbeyond for me. And you can also like, comment and all the rest of it on our Facebook at Loopholes Podcast, Instagram at Loopholes Pod, Twitter at Loopholes Pod, or you can send us an email at loopholespodcast@gmail.com.
And I'm tempted to say, try and keep your comments a bit shorter, but I don't want you to.
No, it's been nice. Send us your essays.
Do it however you want to do it, however you want to express yourself. You do that. We'll work around it, either doing an episode like this where we read out quite long form stuff and talk about it all, or we'll edit it down ourselves and that. But no, you express yourselves how you want to express yourselves, and we'll sort it out this end as best we can.
Yeah, we appreciate it all.
Did you say appreciate?
Appreciate it all.
You did just say it like
that. I did, didn't I?
One TV show. Saw it text. All it text. I've been Ian Boldsworth.
And I've been Dr. Kate Sherrill.
See you next week.
Bye.
It's happening again.
God, no.
Loopholes is an Infinite Hermit production in association with Burials and Beyond, with Kate Cherrill and Ian Boldsworth. Music by Thomas Funderay, produced by Ian Boldsworth.